Good morning, everybody. So glad that you're here with us. For those at our Muskego Campus Church, those in the Waterford Campus Church, again, just so good to have you there right now. And the things that are happening there, we just hear greater and greater reports that way, and we're rejoicing in that as well. We are starting the week two of our greater series now. This is a series that deals with our greatest needs or our deepest needs in our life. And we've identified five of those. They include hope, love, purpose, peace, and happiness. Those are the deep needs that all of us share. Now, which among the five do you think is the greatest of the greatest, the number one when it comes to identifying that need that we seek and desire in our life? Take a pick. Hope, love, purpose, peace, happiness. You think all of them? Anybody going to be surprised when I tell you that the number one, like the greater among equals, is happiness? Psychology Today makes this declaration. Ask what the fundamental objective of life is. The vast majority of people answer quickly and definitely, it's happiness. Think about how many decisions that you make in your life, how many life choices you make based on whether or not you think it will make you happy or not. Most important thing, most important desire that we have for our children is that they're what in life? That they're, right? That they find happiness in life. Every great story, the ones we like reading, end it with these words, don't they? And they lived, say it, yep, they lived happily ever after. And here in the U.S., our Constitution seeks to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of, you see, this is something that is very significant, not just a superficial thing that's going on. It has a deep impact on all of us. So much value. In fact, if we were to look at some of the benefits of happiness, this just kind of gets driven a little bit deeper as, you know, this real core issue that we have. Happy people, it's noted, have stronger and deeper friendships. No arguments there, right? Happy people are more likely to be in satisfying romantic relationships, right? Woo-hoo, let's hear for happiness, right? Come on. Happy people have better immunological function. It means your immune system works better. If you were to go to a happy person and take a needle that has some kind of infectious virus on it and stick them with it, do you know they would be less likely to get sick as if you did it to somebody that was unhappy? Now, I don't know what kind of a person you are that goes around sticking people with, you know, needles with infectious, you know, material that are on them that way, but, you know, that's what medicine tells us that. Happy people, they sleep better. This is why I know so many people are happy in church. In fact, if somebody beside you starts to nod it off, you can just kind of tap on them and say, feeling happy, are we? Happy people are viewed positively by other people. Happy people are more creative. I think we, you know, see that coming out. Happy people, they spend more time helping other individuals. Happy people, it's noted that they exact more pleasure, whether it's in working, socializing, or playing. Just last year, 2014, did you know there were almost 2,500 books written on happiness? 2,488 that were written and put on Amazon just in 2014. So those then join the tens of thousands of other books that you can get, go to Amazon, on happiness. Interesting little note there. Do you know that nobody buys just one? I'm not talking about one for me, one for you. I'm talking about when they go looking to buy a book on happiness, they usually get two or three or more. Do you know why? Because you got all these different thoughts that are out there, and you want to make sure you don't miss the right one. TED Talks are very, very famous. I mean, you're familiar with TED Talks? Heard TED Talk? Yeah. You know that there are 53 different TED Talks just on the subject of happiness and how to be happy? So important. Yet, at the same time, happiness has this elusivity to it. It's elusive, isn't it? Let's just do a quick assessment, shall we? If you want to use your handout or you can use the screen up here. On a scale of 0 to 10, how happy would you be? 0 being you got nothing. I mean, you're no happiness at all in your life. And 10 up here, you just couldn't be any happier. Where would you be today? At this point in your life, where are you on the happiness factor? You got it? Got a number? 0 to 10. How many 10s are out there? Anybody 10? Yeah, you scare us. I mean, right? I mean, but it's good to know. Meds are working. Drugs are good, right? All right. So how about somewhere, though, you know, in that, you know, maybe, you know, you're somewhere in that 6 to 10 scale. How many in the 6 to 10 scale? All right, yeah, I can see, you know, you kind of got this smile on your face right now. Now, if you're down in the, you know, the lower half right here or trending this way, aren't you glad you're here for this message today? Now, that's not a gotcha kind of thing. You're just like, no, there is real hope and help for us. Let's bring God in. Can we do that? I mean, we're in church, right? Can we bring God into this? True or false? I want you to think about this before you answer too. True or false? God wants me to be happy. Ready? I may go, that's true. I may go, that's not true. Haven't you ever heard God's more interested in you being holy than being happy? You may have heard that, and the person that said it's kind of whacked. I mean, not that that's not important to be holy, but the fact that we're trying to divide these two apart from each other, as if holiness has nothing to do with happiness. It's a true, very true statement that God wants me to be happy. In fact, we can take that to this next step and say, Jesus wants me to be happy. That's true. And don't ever be afraid. Don't ever back off that truth. Some people may use it as a license. Hey, God wants me to be happy, so they're going to go off and do whatever they're going to do, right? Or, you know, God wants me to be happy, and they want to twist things around, or they're afraid that God might fail if I'm not happy in their life in some way, and they try to distance themselves from truth. Don't ever distance yourself from truth. Lean into truth, even though others might, you know, take it and try to misuse it or misapply it at different times in their life. If you were with us last week, you'll remember us saying this statement, and it is so true, and it just echoes again with us today. The fact that Jesus has an Easter blessing that he wants every one of us to be recipients of. And that blessing was his shalom. That is shalom, the blessing of God. The blessing of God. And in this umbrella, and these are the two primary things that come out in this, it would be his peace. We talked about that one last week. And now his happiness. Those are both tied into this shalom that Jesus has for us. So if you have a Bible, I want you to look at some of the things that Jesus has to say about this with me. If you didn't bring a Bible, grab a pew Bible. Let's turn together to John chapter 15, verse number 11. When you get there, if you could just put a little, you know, mark this, put card or communication card or something in there right now. And I want to read this verse together. So if you look up with me at the screen, we're going to be going back to the Bible here in just a second, so don't lose your place. Jesus' words to us, would you read them with me? He said, I have told you this. Everybody, let's start again. Everybody together. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that may be. Those are Jesus' words to us, and the context here is especially important. Jesus is saying to his disciples, when I'm gone, now here's the context. He has just finished the Last Supper. John chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16 are what are referred to as the upper room discourse. So they're in this place where the Last Supper took place. Jesus had just instituted communion. And now he makes this statement to them. He's going like, when I'm gone, I want your happiness. And by the way, when Jesus says the word joy, joy and happiness are synonymous. I mean, you may have heard, you know, somebody say at some time, joy and happiness are two different things. Not in the Bible, they're not. Not the way Jesus used it, they're not. Those two words just go back and forth. So it reads just as accurately, I've told you this so that my happiness may be in you and that your happiness may be complete. Those terms you can always use interchangeably that way. So Jesus is saying to his disciples here, I want your happiness to be as great when I'm gone as your happiness was when I was here with you. Again, think about that for just a second. When you think about Jesus, I mean, first of all, what comes to your mind? Let me put up two pictures. You got picture A of Jesus. This is, I mean, familiar with this picture. You didn't even need me to tell you who that was, did you? Right, because everybody goes, oh, you know, that's a picture of Jesus, one of the portraits that was done of him. So this is A. Then B, we have over here another picture of Jesus, almost like an A exam. Is it A or is it B? A or B? Which is it A or B that way? Now, based on what comes to your mind, when you think Jesus, if you think A, Jesus, you know, very reserved, very stoic, you know, always in control of showing very little emotion at any time at all, that really shapes how you read and understand the Bible. And that's what's kind of, you know, kind of brought you to this. On the other hand, if you have Jesus, not as Jesus the Stoic, but Jesus man of joy, Jesus person of happiness, Jesus when people go like, you know, Jesus, he just seems happy. I mean, like, what is it that he's got? He's got this happiness that he seems to exude. It's kind of like, you know, being drawn to him that way. This also is going to greatly shape your understanding of Jesus. Now, you want to know which the Gospels portray? The Gospels give us the picture of Jesus. Do you think it's A or do you think it's B? Go ahead and say it. You can commit. You've been wrong before. All right, A or B? You think it's A? You think that's what the Gospels show? I'm so glad that you're here in this service today then, because I'm here to tell you, it is a strong B that the Gospels show. So Jesus is saying this to them. Remember how happy that you have been with me? Think about hanging with Jesus. Just fill in the blank, in fact. Don't close your Bible, but hanging with Jesus was what? Help me out. If you got to hang out with Jesus, hanging with Jesus was wonderful, fun, awesome, challenging, what else? Stretching, I heard that. Amazing, yeah. And it was filled with joy. So Jesus is saying to them, I want you to have in your life continually what you have when you are with me, what you see I have in your life. How many want more of this in your life? Compared to what Jesus was saying. He goes, that's what I'm offering to you. That's what I want for you. Now, watch how this conversation continues to flow. Because you heard me say, John 13, 14, 15, and 16, that's this upper room discourse. Just slide over with your eyes, slide over chapter 16, and we're going to pick it up in verse 19. A little bit longer passage here, but just track with me and think about this conversation. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? Now those can be confusing terms until you remember, Jesus is just about to go to be betrayed. So when he said, a little while, you'll see me no more, now you know what he means? Oh, yeah, for sure, right? And then a little while, you're going to see me again? Like, oh, yeah, he knows what's coming that way, too. His disciples were trying to figure this out, and they're talking with each other. Jesus goes, just listen to me. Verse 20, he said, very truly I tell you. In other words, he's saying, listen, guys, you know, honestly, which is, we say that to put more emphasis on, this is something that's so sincere, so important that you get. Very truly I tell you. You will weep and mourn when the world rejoices. But your grief it will be turned to joy. He's talking about these next 3 days and then Easter itself. Verse 21, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into this world. Look at verse 22. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. No one will take away your happiness in your life. Now, he's not done. Jesus finishes this teaching, he does. And then he prays. He prays and he prays to his Father for his disciples right now and what they're going to go through. Then he prays for everyone that will ever name the name of Jesus, everyone that will ever call themselves a Christian, that will receive him as Savior. Chapter 17, I just want you to see this. Verse number 13, this conversation flows. Jesus says to his Father, I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy in them. Don't miss this. Jesus prays specifically for us to have the full measure of his joy, the fullness of his happiness in us. Now we've said, when it comes to each of our needs, that we all do our best in trying to meet that need, the need for peace, the need for love, the need for hope, the need for purpose, the need for happiness in our life. We're doing our best to try and have those met. Now, our means, our way to happiness, it's tied to our understanding or to our perception, it's proportional, you could say, to our current feeling of how we're being blessed in life. In other words, are things good in my life? Are things good relationally? You know, how am I blessed that way? And, you know, we're, you know, happy, not happy accordingly. How are things going, you know, work-wise, financial-wise, family-wise, you know, circumstance-wise? How's your golf game? You know, all those, you know, all the important things, you know, that way that are, you know, tied right to it. Now, don't forget, you don't have to be a Christian. You don't even have to believe in God to appreciate all of the good things of life that God has given or blessed us with. This kind of this common grace that everybody gets, the good things of life, right? So our happiness, as it's tied to this, as things go good in our life, you know, we feel blessed, we'll just say, you know, things are going good relationally in our life, how's our happiness go? What direction? Up or down? Yeah, things go, you know, feeling blessed, going up. But when things don't feel so good, maybe, you know, financial problems, you know, another kind of problem, problem at school, things aren't going good, where's our happiness go? Goes, right, it just, you know, goes down there. So, it's just leading, you know, how we're feeling, leading where our happiness goes that way. That's our happiness factor. And we do our best to try to manage that, right? But here's what Jesus brings. Because Jesus brings that which is greater than what we're ever able to do in and of ourselves. And he said, that's what I want to be able to give to you. I want you to be possessors of this. So Jesus, the greater happiness, not only comes from connectedness to enjoying the blessings of life, though it is that too. So don't think, well, yeah, I want Jesus' happiness. It's just esoteric. It's just, you know, something that's way out there. It doesn't deal with the regular stuff of life. It does. But in addition to just the blessings of life, it also adds to it the blesser himself. This happiness, this God-given happiness that's in there. And it's not just the stuff of life, the blesser himself, but also the special grace that God gives, that God offers to us in our life. All of those are working together for even a greater happiness than we can have, to meet that deepest need in us. So I'm sure we ask, how do you get this? How do you get greater happiness? It's really two part. Greater happiness comes, first of all, as a gift. And we call this grace. You know, it's just this gift that's given to us. When a person receives Jesus, they open their lives up to him. They acknowledge their need for Jesus. They reach out to Jesus, accept Jesus into their life. One of the things that Jesus does for them is that he gives to them his joy or his happiness. So I could ask you, have you received Jesus? Do you remember having received him? A joy that you had, a happiness factor that you had that you didn't have before. I can actually remember this. I wouldn't have identified it at the time, but my life started to get marked by it. It's like, how do I explain this? But it's unmistakable in me that way. I always want to ask this, when I throw the question out there, have you received Jesus? Like, because most of us go like, oh, yeah, I'm good with Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Different question. I didn't say, do you believe in him? I said, have you received him? Have you opened your life? Have you called upon him? Have you trusted him? When did you do that? Now, you may not know the exact day or time, but you may know the time of life. You know there was a time that, no, I wasn't trusting in Jesus. I wasn't following him at all. I was just going my own way. Some of us were running far the other direction. But then there came that whatever happened, the circumstances, the event, this time of my life when I realized who Jesus was, what he had done for me, and that I needed that, and I asked him to be my Savior. Can you think of that time? Because if you haven't, if there's not a time you've done it, it's probably because you haven't done it yet. And of course, Jesus says, that's what I want to, above all, challenge you with. Trust me. That's the gift part. Now, there's a second part to it, and that's a result part. We call this following. Our happiness increases as we are learning and living from Jesus. Learning what he's saying, learning the instruction, learning direction, learning his heart, and then we're living it in our lives. And he gives us so much help with it that way. That's how you get it. Now, if you got it, how can you lose it? Is it possible to lose this greater joy, this greater happiness? And the answer is, well, unfortunately, yeah. We can lose it. Think about the things that would rob you of your joy. Think about the things that keep, that rob you from happiness. Maybe there's a breakup in your life. You're with somebody, boyfriend, girlfriend, and they just break up with you. Maybe you just get unfriended. And you get unfriended and that's just like, your day is just, going down like that. Or maybe you fail a class. Maybe you get held back a grade. Maybe you have a financial downturn. Maybe you get blindsided with an accident. Maybe there's a health issue that comes up. Maybe there's just some problems that are happening. And the circumstances of life and this thing seem hard right now. All those have the potential to drain our happiness, don't they? Been there? You know what I'm talking about? How many could add to my list? Or, personalize it that way. It's interesting, Jesus said this about all the things we just mentioned, as difficult as they are in life, that greater happiness supersedes them. Jesus said, even if you've got this stuff in your life, it will not rob you of my happiness, my joy that you can have in your life. That won't take it away. But there are two things that will. There are two things that will take even this greater happiness away from us, cause us to lose it or miss it. First one of these is disconnection from the source. Now, if you have your Bible open, and you don't have to right now, but if you remember where we started, John 15, Jesus said, my desire is that my joy is in you and that your joy is complete. So John chapter 15, verse number 11. He started out that chapter with a very graphic picture, clear picture. He said, here's an analogy. He goes, think of it this way. I'm the vine, you're the branch. He goes, as long as the branch is connected to the vine, think grapevines, a lot of vineyards around there. As long as the branch is connected to the vine, there's fruit, right? But if there's a separation, then you don't have the fruit anymore. You don't have what the vine is capable of producing because the branch is disconnected. Now, we're not talking here about I got disconnected from Jesus means he cut me off or I got my salvation, you know, I'm not going to heaven anymore. We're not talking about any of those things. But he said things like this. When you get distracted from him in life, maybe you're ignoring him because of a hurt, or maybe you're just ignoring him because either the cares of this life, I think the word for that is busy, or the deceitfulness of riches, that is, I'm caught up in trying to get, and money has got me distracted. So whether it's busyness or the stuff of life, they just distract me from Jesus. I don't believe in him anymore. I just don't spend really any time thinking about him or connecting with him in my day. And if that happens to you, all of a sudden this greater happiness is missing, isn't it? Because he said it would. Now, the other way that we could lose our greater happiness is through a negative attitude. Now, I'm not talking about you need to walk around, you know, everybody, the Pollyannish attitude, you know, rose-colored glasses. Ooh, isn't life good, you know? La, 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 la. You know that thing. It's like, not talking about that. But when we allow thinking in our mind to persist that goes contrary to what God says, that takes us to places that negates the truth of God in our life, the promises of God in our life, when you let your mind go, when you begin to own or think that way, the result of that is this greater joy is lost. Now, there is a book in the Bible, an entire book that's given to just helping us with this, with attitude and happiness. And it's called the book of Philippians. Paul, in the circumstances that he was in at this point in his life, writes to the church at Philippi. And everybody there is going like, this is the worst thing that could happen to Paul. He was in prison and things are not going, you know, well at all that way. And he writes to him and says, hey, I know what you're thinking, but I'm good. He goes, in fact, I'm rejoicing because here are some of the things that I see happening, even though there's these negative circumstances. See, negative circumstances don't have to result in a negative attitude. You can have negative circumstances, but if you will think as God desires, or as God gives you promise, help, direction, all of a sudden you can rise above your circumstances that way. And that's why I put this reference here. If you just want to fill it in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8, I mean, just to write that down, to look at that a little bit later, it's extremely helpful. Now, don't hear me saying today that, you know, if you have greater happiness, then, you know, you're just going through life all the time with this song on your lips and, you know, kind of, you know, dancing in the street this way. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along. Yeah, that's what I'm not saying, right? Now, I felt like, you know, as a runner, I thought about wearing my, you know, running clothes up here just to model this up that way, but it's not always the way it goes. In fact, that's not how I was feeling last Friday when I was out running, and I got caught in the hailstorm that was out there. Yeah. There may have been joy on the inside, but it wasn't showing as well on the outside as I was going, ow, that hurts. Let me leave us with two applicational questions that we want to be asking ourselves today and throughout this week, especially with the need that each and every one of us carries in us, this longing or craving of our soul. Ask yourself, have you gotten Jesus' greater happiness? Have you ever gotten it? Remember, have you received him? If you haven't, he's saying, come to me today. Come, everyone. Trust me. Are you following? Are you staying? You're learning? Are you living? You know, staying connected with him in life? Have you gotten it? And if you've gotten it, you got to ask yourself this next question. Have you lost it? It's like I had it, but I lost it. Because maybe that disconnection is in place right now. Busy, you know, trying to get ahead in the world, stuff money, or this negative attitude, negative thinking. See, Jesus' bottom line is crystal clear for each and every one. Hear him today. He said, I want you to experience my greater happiness today. And as important as the happiness is, don't miss the source. That's Jesus' desire for you today. Would you join me in this closing prayer? Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful. The way you designed us, the uniquenesses within us, these soul cravings that we have, you didn't just make us functional, but you made us to be able to live and to feel in the full image of yourself. You gave us the craving for happiness. And then you have made available this happiness to us. And you continually are there as the blesser, as the one saying, I have a greater happiness than what you can achieve of yourself. And I want you to have that. So for anyone here right now, Lord Jesus, that hasn't trusted you yet, but they're ready. I mean, they just know they're ready. Haven't done in the past, but today I'm ready just to say, Jesus, I know what you did on the cross I need. And I want not just you for forgiveness, but I want you for this relationship with God. I want you as a source in my life that I can learn from and live. And I want to receive you today. If that's you, would you just lift up a hand today? Guy, that's me. That's my prayer today. First time, I just want to receive him today. As you see each hand and heart, Lord Jesus, and everyone that says, I'm ready for that, may they realize that you have never turned anybody away, but you've already said yes to them as they've reached out to you. I also want to pray, Father, for every one of us that have received Jesus, that we'll be able to see clearly in our lives whether or not we have this greater happiness, and if not, what is that's keeping it from us? And for those that are owners of it now, may it just continue to increase. And may it be another beacon for the gospel that people might be able to see in us. That's our prayer. Now, before we end it, would you, if there's a struggle going on in your life and right now, like, I'd be happy if it weren't for blank, just let God know that. And ask him for his help with that in your life now. As you hear our prayer, we know that you are one to answer it, Father. Thank you for that. And so we conclude this in the name of Jesus, and everybody in agreement said, Amen. Amen.